Well, good morning to everybody. It's certainly good to have this opportunity once again to be with you here at the Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church. We are thankful to the Lord for his many blessings to us, and I trust we have met together for no other purpose but to worship and adore the great God of heaven and earth, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Appreciate the good humble prayer, and turn to a portion of scripture here that I want to take, and I want to read four verses of this chapter. Primarily the second verse will be my text, but what this is it's from the book of Timothy. It's 2 Timothy, and it is a charge. I believe the Apostle Paul was the penner of this book. God was the author. Paul penned these words. But it was a charge that was given to this young preacher, Timothy. And the charge was to preach the gospel, to go forth and preach the truth as it is in Christ. All ministers and all preachers, including Brother Will and myself, have received this charge when we were ordained to the ministry, and we were charged to go forth to preach. Let's read our text here found in 1 Timothy, a charge to Timothy that says in chapter 4, verse 1, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. Now that's a charge to the young preacher Timothy to go forth and preach the word. And this also speaks of a time when God's people will not endure sound doctrine. That certainly is a time in which we live. You know, the things that me and Will will stand up here and preach this morning to you, the most of the religious world, and they are children of God. They'll not have the doctrine that we preach, the doctrine that we present, the doctrine that this Bible teaches. They have, as this scripture said, they have found themselves teachers because they have itching ears. They want to hear what it is that's comforting to them. They don't want to hear those things that reprove and rebuke and exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. They don't want to endure those things that the gospel directs us into to live our lives here in this world in an honoring and godly honoring way that we live here. So the world has gotten just exactly as the writer here penned that it would get. And the world, if it certainly has ever been in that condition, it is in that condition today. That's why when we go to the old Baptist church, there's so few that haven't turned their hearts and eyes from the truth, but are wanting to hear the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The instruction here in our text, verse 2, preach the word. Go out and proclaim the word. Preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. You know, sometimes when I stand up here and preach, and sometimes when Brother Will or any other minister stands up before you and preach, he doesn't have the full spirit like he will at other times. But this says, regardless, what the season is, whether God is blessing you to the fullest extent or whether it's just a short blessing from God. If you're preaching the Word, you listen to it. You follow it. It's good instruction. It's good things that you can take unto yourselves and use that you might serve the Lord in an honorable way, not only when you're here on Sunday morning, but all through the week, from Monday through Saturday, as you go about your daily activities and your daily life, serving the Lord, keeping the Lord in your mind. Preach the Word. Be instant, in season, out of season. When you preach the Word and you preach the gospel, you're going to sometimes rebuke some. So it's preach the Word in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Now what we want to do this morning, we want to take a look at some different characters of the Bible that followed this very charge that was given to this young preacher Timothy to go out and preach the gospel. And so we'll take a look at some of those. And what did they do? They preached the gospel. First of all, we want to go to a man that I like to refer to as the very first primitive Baptist preacher. And why do I say that? Because he was indeed the very first minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because God had chosen him to be the forerunner of Christ. In other words, one born right before Christ, and to preach when it was time that the kingdom of heaven was here. The Messiah is here, and he introduced Jesus to the children of God that heard him preach, that being none other than John the Baptist. Well, now John was a Baptist. Let me say that. That's why the Scripture calls him John the Baptist. Now I say that because one time Carol and I were on a trip over into Charleston, South Carolina, over there near to the Citadel University. We were on a tour of the city, and they took us by this Catholic church. The name of that Catholic church near the Citadel is John the Baptist Catholic Church. Me being the kind of agnostic I am and wanting to pull somebody's leg, I thought, well, I'll ask this guy a question when he gets through. So I thought I'll ask him a question. So I asked him, I said, well, let me ask you a question. He said, okay. I said, this is a Catholic church, right? He said, yes. I said, so if John the Baptist was a Catholic, why is the name of this church call him after his name, John the Baptist? Looked like they would call this John the Catholic Church. And he scratched his head and he looked around and he said, well, you know, I don't know the answer to that. I said, well, I'll tell you the answer to that is because John was not a Catholic. He was a Baptist. That's why the Scriptures call him John the Baptist. Now, John the Baptist came preaching the gospel. He was a forerunner of Christ. Now, I've turned here to chapter 3 of the book of Matthew, and we'll see some preaching here that was done by John the Baptist. It says in chapter 3, verse 1, in those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, what did he say? What did he preach? What was the message of John the Baptist? John the Baptist, his central theme and message of the gospel that he preached was repentance. Repentance. Now, what is repentance? That's preaching to the children of God to turn away from your sinful life and your sinful things in your life and follow Jesus. As a matter of fact, John was so convinced that you must repent of your sins to follow Jesus that there was an occasion when some came to him to be baptized. Well, did he say, well, this is a good opportunity to fill up the roles of the church, let's baptize them? No, he didn't. He called them devils. He called them to leave until they showed, until they brought forth fruits meet for repentance. In other words, John the Baptist didn't baptize an unrepentant sinner into the church. He required repentance to turn from your sins, turn from those things that would lead you away from serving the great high and holy God of heaven and of earth. So it says here, and in those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now what did he mean, the kingdom of heaven is at hand? Was he talking about heaven and immortal glory when we die? No, he wasn't talking about that. He's talking about the visible kingdom of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And he was preaching to them that they should be baptized and enter into the kingdom of heaven here upon this earth, the visible kingdom, the church kingdom, and serve the Lord in a way of truth, as the scriptures teach it. Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. That's what John the Baptist was doing. That's what God called him to do. God called him to preach as the forerunner of Christ, to preach that Christ was on the scene, to preach that the Messiah had been born, the preacher that his name was Jesus, and so he was preparing the way of the Lord to be in the kingdom of God for those children of God that would hear his message. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. Then went out to him Jerusalem. In other words, children of God went out to where John the Baptist was preaching. They went out from Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan. And whenever they came and heard his preaching, they were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. But as I said, there's another portion of scripture where John called them of Satan and of the devil, and told them to bring forth fruits meet for repentance. John the Baptist preached the word. John the Baptist preached the gospel. John the Baptist preached repentance. And John the Baptist was the first Baptist preacher. People say, well, who baptized John the Baptist? Well, I'll tell you this. John the Baptist was the only Baptist that was never baptized. God baptized him with the Holy Spirit, and that was enough. John baptized lots of people. John even baptized the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Well, if you believe it's baptism that brings life, do you believe Jesus need life? Why did he be why did he submit to baptism? Because baptism is not, I repeat, baptism is not an avenue to eternal life. It's the answer of a good conscience toward God. It's a child of God that's already been born of God, coming forth and saying by his baptism he believes in the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. How does baptism represent the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ? Well, look at a picture of it. A person that's baptized, first, before they go down under the water, they hold their breath. They don't breathe. Why? Because if you breathe under the water, I'm afraid you get water in your lungs, and that wouldn't be very good. So they don't breathe. What does that represent for a person not breathing? That's representative of a person that's dead, not breathing. That's the death of Jesus Christ. Well, what happens then? Then you submerge him underwater. What is that? Why do we insist that baptism must be by submersion underwater? Because it represents the burial of Jesus Christ. And there's no way you can represent the burial of Jesus Christ by sprinkling a little water on somebody's head. That don't bury nobody. But when you submerge him under the water, that's burial. That's what that represents. And the third item is the resurrection. After you bury him up under the water, what do? You bring him up out of the water. What is that? That's the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Baptism is a perfect and beautiful picture of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And when a child of God comes and submits himself to be baptized, he is saying by his submission to that ordinance of the church that he believes in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, which is what the gospel is. What is the gospel? It's a message about Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. So here's John the Baptist. He went out, people went out from Jerusalem and Judea and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. But John required some repentance before they would be baptized, of course. Now we want to turn over to another character in the Bible that preached the gospel. Who would that be? Well, I'd probably have to call this character the greatest gospel preacher that ever preached upon the face of the earth. Why is that? Because it was Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. You know, Jesus preached his own glorious gospel when he was upon the face of this earth. And Jesus preached it, and he preached it well. And the scriptures tell us about Jesus preaching the gospel. We'll find over here in the book of Matthew, chapter 9, it says here, and verse 35, and Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. As Jesus preaching his own glorious gospel of the kingdom of God, he went about all the cities preaching in the synagogues, and he preached the gospel of the kingdom of God, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Now here was Jesus. He was going about preaching, and he had compassion on those he was preaching to. Why did he have compassion on them? Did he have compassion on them because they were dead alien sinners and needed life in order to go to heaven? No, that's not why he had compassion on them. He had compassion on them because they were sheep going astray who didn't have a shepherd. And Jesus saw he was only one man. He was only one person, and he could only preach to places so many days and so many times to so many people that he saw that needed the gospel, that needed to be in the kingdom of God, serving the Lord in spirit and in truth. So he had compassion on them, and he said, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then said he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into the harvest. Now, was he going to harvest alien sinners to become children of God? No, he was going to harvest children of God to join into the visible kingdom of God, to serve Christ while they were here upon this earth, and to have a shepherd. They needed laborers in the vineyard of the Lord. Why is the Lord the vineyard? Because it's the Lord that bears the fruit of giving the children of God life. And so they're the fruit of his vineyard. And they needed laborers to go into the vineyard. And when Jesus went about from city to city preaching the gospel, he had compassion on them. Why? Because they needed a shepherd to gather them together, that they may properly worship the Lord in the visible kingdom of God in spirit and in truth. Yes, Jesus himself preached his own glorious gospel. Now we want to turn over here to the book of Matthew, where we'll find, the book of Mark, where we'll find this said in the last two verses of the book of Mark. It talks about going out and preaching, but it is said, go out and preach and do it on your own and don't worry about it. No, a man that goes out to preach, before I even came up here this morning, I was saying a little prayer to myself, Lord, be with me when I get up there in that stand, because I'm telling you, I'd be the biggest failure in this congregation if the Lord was not with me. And you need the Lord's help, and here it is. This is the Lord, the very last words after Jesus ascended up into heaven. What did he say? He says in Mark chapter 16, so then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. Where is Jesus at? People say, well, if Jesus rose again, where is he at? He's seated right this very minute at the right hand of the throne of God, looking down upon the congregation here at Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church. That's where he's at. And this says that's where he went. And they went forth and preached everywhere. Who? The disciples, those that were called of God to preach, they went everywhere and they preached the gospel of the Lord working with them. Don't leave that out. The Lord working with them. I'm telling you, if the Lord is not with you, if the Lord is not working with you, it wouldn't be much. And so we do need the Lord to lead us and to work with us in the preaching of the gospel. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. Yes, indeed, we do need the Lord's help in order to preach the gospel. Every minister that goes into the stand to preach to God's children, of course, needs needs that blessings and the help of the Lord. So let's turn over here to the book of Luke, and we'll see here again Jesus that went from town to town and place to place preaching the gospel. Chapter 9 of the book of Luke says, "Then he called the 12 disciples together, and he gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases." Now, let me say about that particular scripture. That was the disciples. That was the apostles. That was Jesus' very own apostles. He gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. Now that's not given to me. That's not given to Brother Will. We don't have the power to cure any disease. If it was true that ministers were given that power in the day and age in which we live, we would need hospitals. Just take them to the church and get them cured. That scripture is talking about the apostles only were given that authority, and he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Yet to preach the kingdom of God, the visible kingdom of the Lord and Savior, a place to go and to join and to gather together and serve and worship the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And he said unto them, "Take nothing for your journey, neither staves nor scrip, neither bread nor money, neither have two coats apiece, and whatsoever house you enter into, there abide, and thence depart. And whosoever will not receive you when you go out of that city, shake off the very dust from your feet for a testimony against them." And now what is he saying there? Go and preach. All won't hear you. All won't respond to you. But shake off the dust from your feet when you leave the city. If they're the children of God and have the heart and Jesus that live within them, then they're in a condition to receive and to respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ. If they don't have it, they won't respond to it. And if they do have it and don't respond to it, it'll be to their own destruction here in this world. Let me tell you that for sure. And they departed and went through the towns preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. Yes, the apostles were given instructions to go out and to preach into the children of God. Now we want to turn over to the book of Acts. It's funny how all of this preaching ends up in the last two verses of a lot of these books. But here in the book of Acts, Paul was in a certain place. And how long did Paul stay here? He stayed here a good long while, it says. This is Paul preaching, the Apostle Paul. And Paul said he dwelt in two whole years in his own hired house, and received all that came in unto him, preaching the kingdom of God, preaching the kingdom of God, the visible church and kingdom of God, and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, and no man forbidding him. Yes, he went and he preached. And he preached the things that God laid on his heart. And he preached the kingdom of God. And he preached Jesus and him crucified. Now one other scripture out in closing this preaching section about preaching the gospel, preaching the word. We'll find it here in the book of Ephesians. We'll begin there at verse 13. reading of chapter 2 of the book of Ephesians. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Now that 14th verse says that Jesus is our peace. Why? Because we are sinners. Sinners by nature. And as sinners by nature, we need someone to make peace with us and God the Father. It was Jesus that bridged that gap between God the Father and fallen sinners. Jesus, our intercessor. Jesus, our mediator. Jesus that made peace with us, with God the Father. And that's what he's talking about there. In verse 14, having abolished in his flesh the enemy, even the law of commandments contained in ordinance, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that we might reconcile both unto God one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them that were nigh. Yes, indeed, the gospel of Jesus Christ. As the young preacher Timothy was charged to preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering in doctrine. We saw John the Baptist who came preaching repentance and baptizing in the River Jordan. We saw Jesus preaching his own glorious gospel, going from city to city, had compassion upon the multitudes of people because they needed a shepherd, and he prayed for them, for the Lord to send laborers into the harvest, that they might gather them all together to worship the Lord in the kingdom of God here in this life. And he charged the apostles when Jesus charged them, the disciples and the apostles, he charged them to preach peace, that Jesus Christ is that peace between fallen, sinful man and a just and holy God. He's seated there at the right hand of God as our intercessor every single day, interceding in our behalf. And I'm so thankful for that. May the Lord bless and keep you, is my prayer. Please pray now for Elder Will Martin as he comes to finish out this morning and pray and preach for us.